Hallelujah.
Bow down before Him and love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord.
I want everybody to put your hand over your heart and pray this prayer. Say these words: Dear God, speak to my heart, change my life, in Jesus' name, amen. Give Him a hand of praise, then you may be seated. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise God. I want you to turn your Bibles this morning to Mark, the fourth division, Mark chapter 4. As you're turning there, always delighted, excited to see the Sunday morning friends. Thank you for coming. I appreciate this church. This is a great church. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, I've said it time and again, but I can't say it too much. Search the world far and wide. They don't come any better than Brother Baser and Sister Baser. How many loves your pastors? Don't you appreciate these folks? They're the greatest. They're the greatest, and I thank God for the privilege of sharing this great church. St. Mark, the fourth chapter. Well, you're turning there and finding that place. It's good to be in service with the Ash family and David Jr. Amen. Last time I saw him, he's just a teenager in youth camps, but so good to see you with your family here today. St. Mark chapter number 4, as you're turning there, verse number 35, St. Mark chapter 4, verse 35, the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over into the other side, evening time. It's time to cross over to the other side. It's a prototype, the rapture, the coming of the Lord, death's evening. I could preach a whole message on that particular verse, but I want you to accentuate the statement, let's go over to the other side. When they had sent away the multitudes, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Say that with me. Other little ships. There rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow, and they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And they came over into the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. Chapter 5, verse number 1. My text this morning is found in the 36th verse. At the end of that verse, it says almost like it's just a matter of information for informational sake, but I believe there is a powerful message in this part of the passage. The end of the verse, and there were also with him other little ships. Say that with me. Other little ships. I don't believe I'm doing the scripture injustice as I minister on other little ships. Old ship Zion, we've received the mandate, the command of the Lord. Let's go over to the other side. We're on the way. It's even time. Time is marching on. Time is passing. We're going somewhere. Captain Jesus is on board. Storm rises, rages, rampages all around us. In this last hour, it's going to get fierce and vehement. In the midst of all of this, we can console ourselves with His presence, with His promise, with His power, with His word that we're going to go to the other side. But I think a great assuring fact in this particular passage is there was other little ships. Now maybe that don't mean a lot to you, but I believe surrounding old ship Zion are some other little ships. And I want you, as we recall a historical episode, I want you to try to grasp the point that I'm trying to make today. History tells us in bygone days of yesteryear, when a big ship would come to port, as it would draw nigh to the shore, there was jagged rocks sticking out. The big ship could not see to miss the rocks. And so little ships would come out, and those little ships would surround the big ship, and those little ships would help guide that big ship into safety and security and stability. And so the little ships, even though they seemed like they were insignificant, they were of specific and special importance. I believe as old ship Zion, as we sail and as we come close to the shores of sweet deliverance, I believe there are jagged rocks, materialism, secularism, discouragement, depression, satanic aggression. And there's a lot of people that's going to hit these rocks because they're not taking advantage of the other little ships. This is more than a play on words. There's a message. I'm going somewhere with this, but thank God for fellowship, friendship, companionship, kinship, relationship, membership, stewardship, leadership, worship, lordship. How many's through? Amen. Are you, do I have enough ships? How many knows we're surrounded? I said we're completely surrounded by ships. And I want you to realize that you're not an island and no man is an island. Everybody here needs everybody here, and we need each other. And we specifically need the Lord. And as God gave me the message on other little ships and began to show me the importance of all of these ships, I thought, God, it'll take me about 10 or 12 Sundays to preach on all of them. God said, no, you just get up and tell them what I'm telling you, and I'll do the rest. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to realize that we do need each other. The church is a body. We're going somewhere, and there is safety and security in relationship, in companionship, in friendship, and in fellowship. You need more than a Sunday morning experience. You need more than a Sunday night experience. You need to be in God's house every time the doors are open. And I'll preach that as long as there's breath in this body till my dying day. And here's why. Because Jesus said through the writer of Hebrews, as that day approaches, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. Now that's the words of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not trying to get you here Monday and Tuesday because we need a crowd. Because for 26 weeks, the crowds have been tremendous. Last Tuesday, we pulled in, drizzly. Rainy night, looked out, two big buses came in. People driving from Pittsburgh, Kansas, and different places in buses because they're hungry. I think it'd be a sad commentary for people to drive many miles and God to be here and us miss Him and we only live a few miles away. How many knows? God wants to have a rendezvous with you. I said, God wants to meet with you on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. How many can stand it? You see, it's not for my benefit because I need a crowd. It's for yours. You see, there are jagged rocks out there. And as we come into Soul's Harbor, the shores of sweet deliverance, we're on board Ship Zion. The storm is raging, rampaging. But those little ships that will come in and guide us and help us, kinship, the sense of companionship, we do need each other. We do. There's something about the love of the body of Christ. My mom was the glue that held the family together. She's in heaven today. My dad, we all revere him, love him, respect him as the patriarch of the family. 10 kids in the family, 7 in the ministry. But mom was the glue. Dad, at an age and stage in his life when maybe just a little bit irritable at times and his mood may not always be the best, and so sometimes he will alienate certain members of the family, then he'll gripe that they don't come around and see him so he can alienate them again. Amen. And so as we walk with him through this stage, I remember as I was in the nursing home, and a lot of my time was spent in what you call troubleshooting, or maybe there's a better word for it. My brother, who's the principal, has a word for it. It's not problem solving, but it's just going around trying to prepare the people what's going to happen. Amen. You just get them ready. And so my dad was there, and my dad felt like that he pretty well owned the nursing home. And there was times he'd pull me aside and say, "We may need to get this one fired, and we may need to get this one fired." And so I'd try to humor him, and some of it may be Alzheimer's, and some of it may be just stubbornness. I don't know, but I remember the time when they called me, I had to go to the office with my dad. That's an awkward experience, folks. To have to go to the office with your dad, he looked at me like a little kid, like, well, am I in trouble? And I'm telling some folks, I've never been through anything like it in my life. Hope you don't have to, but we're going through that stage. And the other day, he was shocked beyond expression because two brother-in-laws called him and said, "Dad, we want you to come and live with us. Give you 3 meals a day. You have your own bath facilities and your own bedroom, and you can have liberty to come and go." He was so shocked, he told my brother, who's the principal. He said, "I'm surprised." He said, "I thought that they thought I was full of baloney." He said, "They do, Dad, but they love you." Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in the midst of all of it, regardless what opinion we have about each other, how many knows we need each other? I said, we need each other. And there are rocks out there that some of you are going to hit because you're not plugged in to the fellowship, the friendship, the companionship, the relationship, and the membership of the Church of Jesus Christ. These are little ships that help us. They surround us. Behind us is a ship called stewardship. How many believes in stewardship? Until or unless you learn the difference between ownership and stewardship, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to miss the whole mark, miss the boat, miss the rapture. Because everything you've got is borrowed. The air that you're breathing, how many knows it's borrowed? And somebody needs to praise the one that gives them that air. Amen. In fact, you need to really glorify the Lord every day. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Everybody take a big deep breath. Take it in. Now let it out. If that's the only reason you're to praise God, how many knows that's enough? Amen. Just praise Him right now. Go ahead. Give Him a hand of praise. Stewardship. You see, we're not the owners. He is. Borrowed sunshine, borrowed air. Everything here belongs to Him. I remember reading the story about how millionaires woke up one morning and they were broke. The Great Depression. Didn't live through it. Some of you may have, but it was horrendous for some of them to face the fact that they had nothing. Where the night before they were millionaires, multimillionaires. That's how fast things can change. But ladies and gentlemen, for those of us who have heard His voice and felt His power and seen His glory, we know that all that we are and hope to be is His anyway. And we know that whatever happens, David said, I've been young, now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Realize everything that you have belongs to Him anyway. I asked God to help me not to become money-minded the other day when He began to put this tremendous burden to raise thousands of dollars to go overseas. And I made a pledge to God that I will never beg for money. That I'll never talk to people about money. I don't have a mailing list. I don't want to get into that, folks. I really don't. God said, you trust me. He said, I've got the finances, and you just stand and you just convey your heart, and I'll move on the people to give. Ladies and gentlemen, to have that confidence in God, to know that it's not up to me or it's not up to you. Some of you are wondering and worrying how you're going to make it with retirement or send kids to college, or right this morning, finances are on your mind. Ladies and gentlemen, take it off your mind. How many knows He's our provider? I said, He's our Jehovah Jireh. He's going to meet all of our needs as we simply trust Him and obey Him. But it comes down, remember, the little ships all around us, membership, sense of belonging, kinship, relationship, companionship, fellowship, friendship, they're all around us. The jagged rocks can't get us. We're moving to Souls Harbor. Get that picture in your mind. I've had it in my mind for days. But I said, Lord, help me to put it in the minds of the people that are here, that there were other little ships there. There are other little ships that surround old ship Zion. Stewardship's behind us. If an oil baron or sheikh from the Middle East came in and said, never again will you have to give to missions. Never again will Brother Baldwin have to come up and ask, are we missions minded? And people clap. Never again will pastor have to receive tithe and offerings, because I'm going to underwrite the church. I am a first assembly. I'm going to underwrite your great massive missions program. I'm going to underwrite all your outreaches and auxiliaries. I'm going to tell you something. You may shout, but the shouting would stop because the joy would leave. You know why? That's not God's plan. That's not the way that God has optioned to finance His kingdom. It's the little widows. How many knows? It's the men and women. It's everybody everywhere. One man can't carry 100 bricks. 100 men can. God said, I've got it all. And if He wanted to, He could bring an angel down and give us all the money we'll ever need. But that's not the way it works. Money represents our blood, our sweat, and our tears. When we come to God and we give to Him and lay in nail-scarred hands, we're saying, God, I trust You. And I love You more than I love my money. Middle East oil sheiks, keep your money. The church don't need it. How many knows that God has got His people that love Him? Our hearts are in tune and in touch with Him. And one-tenth of the tithe belongs to the storehouse. And above and beyond, we sow seed in fertile soil as we give to missions. Stewardship's important. I trust your tithing. If you're not, I'm going to tell you right now, folks, I can't guarantee you financial blessing. I want you to join with people like J.C. Penney and Milton Hershey and some of these great men who learned the secret of giving. Ladies and gentlemen, join with thousands across the nation around the world that know that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. We say more, 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 Lord, more, more. God says, you want more? Want more finances? Give more. Amen. As you give, He said, I'll give back unto you. Stewardship. If caravans of angels came down in this atmosphere today and they begin to sing melodic symphonic praises to God. It'd be awesome. We would sit spellbound as we heard the voices of the angelic host and caravanses of holy entourage. But if you were to shut your mouth, let the angels do your praising for you, it may bring people in. It would be awesome. But if I understand the biblical principle that I'm preaching on spiritually, you would die. You know why? God never ordained the angels to do your praising for you. He never ordained the world to do your giving for you. You see, it's about participation. It's about you becoming involved. Thank God for old ship Zion. The storm is raging. The wind is blowing. The waves are rising. And the rocks are sticking out. The devil wants to destroy you right before you land on the shores of sweet deliverance. But Satan, you don't have a chance. Why? I'm plugged into a fellowship. And there's friendship, companionship, kinship, relationship, membership. I'm paying my tithe, giving in the offerings. I know that God is with me, around me, and for me, and up on me. And I know the smoke clears, the dust settles. The wind may blow, ladies and gentlemen, and the waves may rise. But the greater the battle, the greater the victory. Because how many knows greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world? Give him a hand of praise. Other little ships. Now, I could spend a long time there, but I'm not going to, because I'm coming to the main point of the message. And I'm just going to spend a few minutes on the main point of the message. In front of us is the lead ship. Leadership, the lordship. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if he's not the Lord of your life, if he's not the Lord of your life, so you can stand and brag that he's blessed my finances, he's healed my body, he's saved my soul. 7,836 times in the Bible I see the word Lord. And Jesus doesn't want to be just somebody you add to what you are. He's not a weekend hobby, a crutch, or a club. Ladies and gentlemen, he's more than just a good friend. How many knows he wants to be Lord of your life? Leadership, the lordship, worship as we follow the lordship of Jesus Christ. As I was preparing this message, and I was really wrestling with how to preach it in such a short amount of time, God said, just emphasize the importance of complete submission and surrender to the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Demons scream, we know who you are, you're the Son of God. But they never call him Lord. They never call him Lord. But the day's coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That means every devil in hell, out of hell, ladies and gentlemen, everybody shall scream and confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Pharaohs, the Neros, the Herods, the Hamans, the Hitlers, the Husseins, the Hillaries. How many know? Shout amen, somebody. Everybody's going to confess it. Come on, go ahead. Some of you don't know if you want to or not. How many knows? Everybody. Congressman, politician, get on your knees. Shut everything down. Don't wait till then. Today, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let the church lift the bloodstained banner. Let it wave it high and far. Jesus Christ is more than a peasant preacher, itinerant evangelist. He is the living, loving Son of God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Go ahead and praise him, everybody. To be Lord is to be ruler. Lord is someone you worship. Lord is someone you obey. Let me say this. If you're not worshiping, I'm afraid those rocks are going to get you. This last wave of God is about worship. You haven't been looking at preliminaries here. This is worship, folks. Why have I turned everybody down for months about coming to revival? Georgia, just a few moments ago, said, you got a letter. I said, they're looking for you the first Sunday of May, and they put it down there. They want you there, and they'll try anything. Even before you give people a commitment, they'll put it down. You need to come here this Sunday and this Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. The reason I want to stay here, and I'll tell you, is because there is a choir, and there's a group of people here that believe in worshiping God. It's not preliminaries. We haven't come to get this out of the way so we can see what a man can do with a people. I can't do anything with you folks. How many knows that? It's the presence of God. It's not coincident or accident that this last great revival is about standing and bowing and kneeling and weeping. And for hours, we will just love on him. It looks like the biggest waste of time to the world. What in the world are you doing with your hands up? You open your mouth, tears flowing down your
face. I tell you what we're doing. We're getting in a realm where God is. Amen. He wants us to worship. I said the Father is seeking for people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Lord is someone that you worship. Look at all those little ships around us, but in front of us, we're worshiping the Lordship. We're following Jesus. It's not about a fraternity sorority. Thank God for kinship, but it's about following the leadership, the leadership, the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the first nights of this revival, I made this statement that the reason the devil fights worship more than anything is because if you'll read the Bible, Ezekiel 28, Isaiah chapter 14, there are archangels. Archangels. Everybody say archangels. Michael is the warring angel. He's the Father's angel. Gabriel is the witnessing angel. He is the Holy Spirit's angel. He's the announcing angel. Read the Bible all through history in the Bible. Anytime there's a great event, Gabriel is there to witness. He's there to herald. He's there to announce. Michael, he's there to fight. So you have the warring angel, and then you have the witnessing angel. You have the angel for the Father and the angel for the Holy Spirit. Whatever happened to the angel for the Son, Jesus, his angel? Read about it, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. Lucifer was the worshiping angel. I said Lucifer was the worshiping angel. God never created a devil. He created an angel. That angel determined he'd rather rule in hell than serve in heaven. His whole goal was to shut down the worship. Too much worship. Shut it down in heaven. In fact, redirect it. Bring it toward me. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the first big split. Anytime that churches stop worshiping, they're going to split. They're going to splinter. I'm going to tell you, folks, that's just the way it is. It's the spirit of division. But you keep a bunch of people worshiping God. You keep a bunch of people with their eyes on the prize. All the demons of hell can't get in and divide and destroy and devour. Why? Because there's a power and there's a presence. There's an anointing that keeps us around the Lordship of Jesus Christ. How many knows He is Lord? Give Him a hand of praise, everybody. When the devil tried to shut down the worship, ladies and gentlemen, he took a third with him. And ever since then, he's trying to do two things. Number one, keep you from worshiping God. And number two, redirect your worship to him. He told Jesus, if you worship me, if you worship me, in the tribulation period, satanic worship is going to be prevalent, folks. And you'd be surprised how many churches are rising around you where they go in, they actually worship the devil. They lift their hands, they clap their hands, they talk in tongues. And those that are nominal churches will say, that ought to tell you those Pentecostals are of the devil. No, that tells me that the devil knows what the real is and he's trying to imitate it. Amen. How many knows? He may imitate, but he can't duplicate. It reminds me of Hollywood, California. Any movie you watch where they try to depict a Pentecostal service, they'll get the best actors, and you know, they'll be gyrating, they'll be shouting, clapping their hands, and going through jerks, but it's just as fake and phony, and you can tell it. You know why? Because the best actors cannot mimic what God's doing in a pure flow of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got the river. I said we've got the river, and if you're not worshiping God, you're going to hit the rocks. This is the last wave of revival. You're going to be distracted. That's why you're hit and miss, in and out, up and down, maybe so, maybe no. I may be there and I may not. Depends on how I feel. We're led by the moods of the moment. Our attitudes rule our lives. But those that love Him and know Him, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be there. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. And I'm going to clap my hands. I'm going to wave my hands. I'm going to jump up and down. I'm going to worship Him with everything that's within me. Jesus Christ is Lord. Give Him a hand of praise, everybody. And that's why the devil has fought worship in our churches. Worship has just been discovered in the past years, months. We feel like reverence is worship. We take our hat off, give God a nod, snore like it's midnight. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not worship. Worship is when your whole body, soul, mind, and spirit is involved in love. Well, I love Him in my heart. Big deal. He said, I want you to get it out of your heart, put it in your mouth. I want you to praise me with a loud voice. He said, I want you to lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. He said, clap your hands, oh, you people, shout unto God. Now, 90% of you are doing it. But I'm going to tell you right now, those that aren't expressing your love toward Him is he really the Lord of your life? Now, soon we're going to face him. I believe that. Soon we're going to dock the shores of sweet deliverance. Going to step on those sandy beaches never again. Sigh, cry, die, no weeping, wailing. Time of eternal bliss, happiness, perennial springtime, perpetual youth. But right now the storm's raging, ships around us. Worship, lordship. Lord is someone you worship. Lord is someone that you worship. All over the nation, churches are starting to worship and starting to respond in praise of adoration. And we'll do nothing but just worship him for hours in some services. In fact, right now, I want you to take just a few seconds, lift both of your hands, and say, Jesus, you lifted your hands and you died for me. I lift my hands and I live for you. And I love you and I'm not ashamed of you. I'm not ashamed of you, Lord. I worship you and I praise you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In fact, stand to your feet and lift your hands and praise him. I'm not through, but he told me to stop. I want you to worship him, folks. I want you to worship him. I want you to worship him. Just worship him. Just worship him. Just worship him. Just worship him. Hallelujah. Jesus, I love you. I love you, Savior. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I praise your name, Lamb of Calvary. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. You're worthy, Jesus. I want everybody here to collect your thoughts and look at me just for a moment. I'm not through. This is a long, long message. All these little ships. But God said, no, just preach on the Lordship of Jesus, my son. And if he's Lord, they'll have no trouble with all these other ships. If you're following him, he's number one. And look and listen, please. My burden is as I preach this morning, next two Sunday mornings, I'll be flying in from Pensacola, from Memphis. Pastor will be ministering. But I'm going to tell you, when God put this on my heart today to preach on the Lordship, the other little ships, my burden is for those of you that nobody really knows if you're ready for heaven, because you really don't know for sure. You hope. You think so. You ask somebody, is he a Christian? I don't know for sure. Is she a Christian? Well, we don't know. Preacher, evangelist asked the pastor, is that man a Christian? Pastor said, ask his wife. How many knows? The wife knows. Husband knows. Kids knows. But my burden today is for those that really haven't taken a public stand. It stands for Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something, folks. For 26 weeks, we poured ourselves into this revival. Some of the most intense times of my life is spent laying in the presence of God. I was up till 12:30, 1 o'clock this morning. I said, oh God, do something in the morning service. And God put on my heart, there are those of you here that if you were to die, cross over, you don't have that assurance. You hope, but how many knows you can know? You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Now here's how you know. That doubt leaves, that assurance comes when you make a public confession. The reason Billy Graham says, I want you to come forward, then he will close his eyes and he will wait, is because everybody Jesus called, he called publicly. Read the Bible, folks. There's no secret agents. You don't sneak around. There's no back door into heaven. He said, if you're ashamed of me here, I'll be ashamed of you there. But if you confess me here, he said, I'll confess you there. In a day when it was popular to shout, Caesar is Lord, Paul had the audacity to change it. And he began to shout, Jesus Christ is Lord. Say it with me. Jesus Christ is Lord. Most awesome thing to do in front of your peers and everybody else, your pride, is just to say no to self and no to pride and rebellion and say, Jesus, I'm going to announce today that you're Lord of my life. If you ever do that, there's no doubt in your mind. There's no doubt about it, folks. Something happens unexplainable, almost unimpressive, inexpressible, but I'm telling you, there's an assurance. I know today Oh, yeah, I know that when the death angel taps me on the shoulder, there may be momentary, temporary fear, but there's a hand bigger than ours that's going to reach down and grab ours. How many believes that? I believe that if I believe anything, folks. When my mom died months ago, and they were singing songs that we learned as a kid by her bedside, my sisters, ain't no doubt in my mind, folks. No doubt in my mind. I know where she's at, and I'm going to join her soon. But if there's a doubt in your heart, today is the day you need to make him Lord. Don't take me to a place and tell me a time. God's telling me there's people here today that you can tell me the year it happened. But today, you're ashamed. You don't take a stand. You hide in the crowd. And God said, I've called you to publicly announce that Jesus Christ is Lord. Bow your head and close your eyes. I'm just about through, but he isn't. The Holy Spirit's moving right now. The saints of God are interceding quietly. And I want everybody right now just to open your heart and listen to his voice. If you'd say, John Davis, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to be sure that I'm right with God. And I'm not sure. There's a doubt in my heart. I want that doubt to be gone. I'm talking to religious people, people that have been raised right, exposed to the sights and sounds of the Holy Spirit. You've been there when people's crossed over. You know it's real. But there's a doubt in your heart. You don't have the assurance that all is well. I'm going to give this altar call in three phases. The first phase, for those of you that would say, John, I don't have the assurance. It's gone. I want God to give me the assurance that I'm ready for heaven. I don't want to sleep at night with a fear. I want to go to sleep knowing that if I die, I wake up, I see his face. I'm ready. No doubt about it. I'm not asking you about your titles, how many times you've come to church. If you say, John Davis, I'm not sure, but I want to be sure, would you pray for me? I want to know that I'm ready to meet God. If I'm talking to you right now, quickly put your hand in the air. Put it up high in Jesus' name. God sees the hands that are going up in the back, in the front. God bless you. Once you raise it, put it down. Keep it in the air until I recognize it. John, I'm not sure, but I want to be sure. God bless you. God saw your hand a few moments ago. The Holy Spirit's moving right now. God's speaking to someone else. I feel in my spirit. Everybody thinks about death and dying, but most people try to shrug it off like it's going to happen to the person next to you, not to you. But as you read the obituaries this morning, yesterday, somebody will pick up the paper. A matter of days, your name could be in there. Your name. It's over. 25-week revival, 26, nothing but a memory. And you stand before God. The Holy Spirit moves right now. In the name of Jesus, I set you free. Hands have gone up, but there's somebody else I'm waiting for. There's a doubt in your heart that all is well, John. I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? I want to be sure that I'm ready to meet God. I want to pray for you, and I will in a few moments. If I'm talking to you right now, put your hand up high and put it back down in Jesus' name. As the Holy Spirit moves across this building, God bless you. God sees your hand. Once you raise it, put it back down. As God speaks to someone else, in the name of Jesus, God bless you for raising your hands. Second phase of this altar call. If there was a time in your life when you were closer to God than you are today, and you'd say, John, I need to get back in God where I need to be, would you pray for me? I believe there's a bunch of you like that. And I'm believing God right now that the Holy Spirit's going to convict you. For him to be Lord means that you acknowledge that you take a stand. I'm going to ask you not to tell a lie to the Holy Ghost. If you know there's a time in your life you're closer to God than you are today, John Davis, I want you to pray for me. I'm not as close to God as I once was. Would you pray for me? Put your right hand up right now in Jesus' name. All over the building, hands are going up. Once you raise it, put it down. Once you raise it, God sees your hand. Once you raise it, put it down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hands have gone in the air. This is the third and final phase. This message, other little ships. John Davis, there's somebody that I love. They're close to me. They're family. And they're not ready for heaven. And I want God to save them more than anything in this world. If I'm talking to you, put your right hand up right now. All over this building, hands are going up. Now, Father, I bless you and I thank you because on Sunday morning, Lord, and something in me feels the urgency. You put it there yesterday, all day, and last night. And Father, then when I realized that this was the Sunday morning that I'd be speaking to these people, Well, the last Sunday mornings, Lord, the urgency came alive. Now, right now, in Jesus' name, I ask you to circle this auditorium, breathe and brood over this audience. I break all bondage. I shatter all shackles. I set everybody free to respond to the wooing, the flowing of the Holy Spirit today. Help nobody to think pride, reputation. Help everybody just to think, I'm going to face God soon and very soon. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for the assurance of salvation, sins forgiven. In Christ's name, I bless your name. I bless your name. This is the way the Lord's leading me, and I don't make any apologies. I've quit preaching early on purpose because I wanted to give time to this time. And this is the way the Lord's leading me. I make no apologies. I'll stand before God. If I see you, you're weeping uncontrollably at the great white throne judgment. I don't believe I'll see you, but if you see me, you cannot blame this preacher. You cannot blame this preacher because I preached my heart out. God wants Jesus to be Lord of your life. Many hands have gone in the air, but I want more than just those who lifted their hands. I want everybody here in this building that'll say, John Davis, more important than me getting to a restaurant and beating the other churches there. By the way, they're already there, folks. You can't beat them, so just stay with us. I'll tell you the best thing I'm doing, folks, and eating on Sunday is waiting everybody gets done. Amen. I come in later. That's usually the way the revival works, and we usually get the best treatment because we come in later. No lines. So forget everything. Nothing but nothing means anything but to know that you're ready to go and know that your family's right with God. I want family members, and if you're not here with a family, don't let this keep you back. John Davis, I'm going to publicly take a stand. Jesus Christ is Lord. Family members, get a hold of each other's hands right now. Please do it. All over this auditorium. And if you've got to move to find mom and dad, brother, sister, I'll wait till you move to find them. My God, if I ever felt like this is the day that we're going to make sure. This is the day, there's no doubt about it. Now, family members, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do what this couple's already done. With hands joined, get out of your seats and walk down this aisle. And as you come, you're saying, Jesus is Lord. I'm taking a stand. Come on. I'm going to ask and I'm going to beg you, please don't hit the door. I've given you plenty of time. This is the day. This is the day. Hands united, hands joined. We're coming in the presence of God. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. If you've got to move to find family members, and if you don't have family here, but you want to see your family saved, get out of your seat and walk down this aisle. The way that you know, the way that we know that Jesus Christ is Lord is publicly. You acknowledge. You take that stand. I know not everybody can come to the front. It's crowded. But you can get out there in the aisles. Just stand out there in the aisles. Jesus, I want you to look down on Sunday morning. I don't want you to see me. I'm not ashamed of you. And I'm going to prove it this morning because I'm standing in your presence completely submitted to your will for my life. Just step out in the aisle. Just move as close as you can all over this building. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Almighty God. Jesus. Bow down before him. Let's love and adore him.
Love and adore him. His name is wonderful. Jesus.
Sing it, everybody. His